Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Dax Harwood, and I'm joined by Tempest. Hey, Tempest, what's up?
You know, my friends have told me I look like Cash Wheeler.
Yeah, I saw lots of people being like, man, Pete and Tempest are really just FTR, huh? And I'm like,
kinda. They can't possibly know that. They can't possibly know what I look like.
Hmm. I mean, right. Cash Wheeler's been masked up recently. He had that, you know, that green mask for the thingy True. That he did with Andrade. So, you know, we're basically
it's
FTR.
True. We might just be FTR.
Mm. Which, you know.
Which means we're winners.
Yeah. And also, I like that comparison. They're very cool and very good wrestlers.
Yeah. I like FTR. A whole bunch.
Mm.
A whole bunch.
Exactly. Yeah. They're great. Yeah.
It was Aerodactyl.
From is that from NXT or was that from last week's SmackDown?
From NXT, yeah.
From NXT, right. Go listen to the NXT podcast. You want to know what that's about. Someone I wanted to speak about very quickly, just speaking of FTR, is I've just put up not long ago the Patreon poll for WrestleTalk Extra for this month for you guys to decide what show Oni and Luke have to review for December. Obviously, if you're watching this, because our pledge hams over on Patreon can watch this now. If you're watching, obviously go vote. And if you, you know, if you're not on Patreon, go over to our Patreon page. And it is insanely close right now. It's taken a lead. They just refreshed the page and it's taken a lead. One of the suggested shows is NXT TakeOver London, which has Dash and Dawson versus Colin Cassidy and Enzo Amore. It's the Revival versus Enzo and Cass, but before they were called that, which I found very amusing when I was looking it up. That's currently in the lead with 32%, and behind that is Armageddon 2008, which has 25%.
The Jeff Hardy show. Mm-hmm. Jeff Hardy wins the WWE title for the first time, and he does. Lost my goddamn mind as a young 12-year-old.
Edge and Triple H in a triple threat. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple things, because I just watched that match recently. I spent I spent my Monday watching like nostalgic wrestling matches, a bunch of stuff from like basically Ruthless Aggression WWE. Mm-hmm. That match is weird to me because they made a change to that match, and I've never understood why, and I've never found out why it's happened, because the finish of that match is like Edge setting up for a concerto. Jeff Hardy grabs the chair, whacks him on the head. He falls over. Jeff Hardy goes to climb up the turnbuckle. Triple H crotches him. Jeff Hardy's lying there going, ow. Triple H hits a pedigree on Edge. And then as he goes for the cover, Jeff Hardy like climbs up, hits the Swanton Bomb on Edge, sends Triple H outside, pins Edge, right? That's the finish. And when that happened live, you could like, they shot it from the opposite corner, looking in at the corner, right? So you're seeing Triple H and Edge wrestle each other. And then Jeff Hardy goes up to the top rope. And you can see all this happening.
Mm-hmm.
In every release of that match since, they changed the camera angle. So you see, they shoot it from the floor where you don't see Jeff Hardy at all. And Triple H and Edge are like battling and it happens. And you can still hear the commentary because the commentary is synced to the original camera shot. right? Mm. Where you can see Jeff Hardy climbing up and doing the Swanton. So you can hear JR and Taz going like, oh, look at Hardy. Look at Hardy. But in the new camera shot, he just flies in out of nowhere and crushes Edge. Like, he flies out of nowhere, and you see absolutely none of this until he just lands there. And it's like, I don't know why that's happened. I've never understood it.
I think it's just they like the camera work of, like, this thing is shocking and happened. You didn't see it coming. Swerve! So they enjoy having you not seeing the thing happen, even though some of those things are some of the best shots when you have that, like, distance between, called? When the it's not narrative dissonance, is it? When the audience knows something but the characters don't, it called? There's a term for it, and I've forgotten it. But I think it's genius when something like that does happen. When you have, like, you know, you have a hard cam shot. One of the ones that comes to mind, I think it featured Drew McIntyre. I can't remember who it was he was facing, or maybe it was when he was teaming with, like, Dolph Ziggler or something. And you had a guy who, like, knocked Ziggler out of the ring or something like that and was looking over the rope. And you just see Drew's head just pop up behind him, and he's just waiting there for him to turn around. And you go, oh, he's going to turn around, Oh, he's going into the Claymore. Like, it builds up the anticipation of it because you see it coming and you know it before the wrestler does. It's almost like a pantomime when it's just like, this thing's happening and you don't know, but we do. It's behind you, you know, all that. And I think that's amazing, but they seem to love the camera shot of just being like, you know, whoa, where did that come from? And it's like the ropes probably, but we can see it.
I don't know. It's just so odd. It's a really weird camera angle, and maybe they do this sort of thing often enough, and I just don't recognize it because it's from other shows that I'm not as familiar with. And this is obviously one that I have, like, burned into my memory. It's like the greatest night of my life when I was like 12, you know? So I don't know if that's just the case, but it always has stuck out to me because they will then show a replay of the original camera shot.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's a person in the front row of the crowd who's, like, holding up, you know, the double bird something terrible like that.
Yeah.
Holding up a sign with, like, I don't know, something really offensive on it that they needed to cut away from or something like that. No, they just decided to change the camera angle, and it's weird. But there's a little tidbit about Armageddon 2008.
And you can go vote on it on our Patreon page if you want to have Ollie and Luke probably not discuss that specific part of the show, but maybe they will. You never know.
Maybe they will now.
But it is very close between Armageddon 2008 and Takeover London right now. A few outside ones are being like Armageddon 99, Starrcade 98, Starrcade 2000. So there's a few different options. Go get your vote on. But for now, let's get into talking about SmackDown and Rampage. I'm sorry, we have to talk about SmackDown. And you know how last week we were like, we're just going to be negative. We don't care. The show is really, really bad. I think I like this show maybe less than last week. I really didn't like this show. And I'm sorry in advance, but also I'm not sorry. Let's talk about SmackDown. I mean, Jesus Christ. What more can I say about SmackDown that I've not said already?
It's proper
rubbish.
What a
waste of time. What a waste of time this entire episode was. Oh my god. Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of SmackDown and Rampage. I'm Dax Harwood. I'm joined by Tempest. And
Cash Wheeler in a mask, apparently.
Apparently, Cash Wheeler in a mask. So you're joined by FTR on this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Get in your Ultra
FTR
Chats.
FTR for life.
FTR for life. I can't do that with the hands easily enough, though. No, not going to work. Get in your Ultra Chats.
F. T. I don't know how to do an R with my hand.
It's not happening.
R. Oh god,
this is brilliant audio content for the podcast listeners. Get in your Ultra Chats at wrestletalk.com/support. We'll go through your Ultra Chats later, all the ones that are $5 US bucks and up, by the time the show goes off the air. And This is the final day, everyone. Oh my God, that we're sponsored by Beer 52. So go to the link in the description at beer52.com/WrestleTalk and get your hands on 10 free craft beers. This is the last day. This is now, last time. Go do the thing in time for Crimbo. Go get your 10 free craft beers, UK viewers only. Talk about them more later. Firstly, let's just talk about what a waste of time SmackDown was, because...
Go for it.
Good golly gosh. I've seen a lot of people that really liked, you know, the beginning and end of the show with the whole Brock Lesnar stuff. Because I'll just briefly talk about them now, where Brock Lesnar essentially came out. He gets interrupted by Sami Zayn, and he essentially intimidated Sami to challenge Roman Reigns tonight, because Sami is now the actual number one contender after the Battle Royal last week. So you should challenge him tonight, and basically intimidated him into doing so. And then Brock said, at day one, I will face whoever wins, right? And then in the main event segment, which I'll talk about more in detail in a little bit, Sami got beaten up by Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns beat him in seconds with a spear and a guillotine, so it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at day one. Right. Uh-huh. In theory, that isn't terrible. In theory, that's fine, right?
In theory, communism works.
In theory, it's fine, right?
I think that's my most used Simpsons quote. It's a really obscure one.
No, you're right. I just want to take you guys through the final half an hour of this show, because it was... Okay, so we had, immediately, it was Sheamus versus Cesaro, right? Sheamus wins, which we'll talk about more later. As he's standing up from his pin, like, he pins, ding, 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 Sheamus wins. Sheamus goes to stand up, and Michael Cole says, I want to take you back to the beginning of this episode of SmackDown. Sheamus does not get a chance to celebrate, or they take in his victory, or anything at all, because it doesn't matter, right?
To the back!
Once again, much, much like... in the title of this episode, the match was a bit pointless, right? Let's take it back to the start of SmackDown. We get a recap of the opening promo with Brock and Sammy, and then the backstage segment they had with Sonya Deville, where the main event match gets made official. Because once again, Tempest, Sonya didn't have a main event when they started this show.
Sure didn't.
One just presented itself on a silver platter. Then Sammy makes his entrance for the main event. Then we cut to an ad break. We come back. We get a backstage segment between Naomi and Sonya Deville, where Naomi challenges Sonya to a match and Sonya accepts it. Cool. We then get a recap, a very long recap of everything that happened from Raw. And then we get another ad break. And then we come back and Sami Zayn does a promo. And then Brock Lesnar comes out. And then they carry on the promo. And then Brock Lesnar beats up Sami Zayn. And then we go to another ad break. And then we come back and Roman Reigns begins his entrance after the ad break. His full entrance, by the way. Like, Sami Zayn is selling on the ground. And Roman doesn't even think to, like, you know, run down and take advantage of the injured man on the floor. No, he just walks down, does his full entrance, poses with the title, does the pyro, does everything, right? And then we get a recap of what happened before the previous ad break of Brock Lesnar beating up Sami. And then bell
there's
rings,
nothing rings. On this show.
No,
there's no actual nothing. Content on this show. The show is, let's do a 2-minute segment and stretch it into 15 minutes.
Legitimately, right? Like, after all of that happens, the bell rings, Reigns immediately hits a spear, guillotine, wins in 15 seconds. And that's it. That's the show. Go off the air. The final half an hour is one in-ring segment, which is technically a match, 15-second match, and a backstage segment. That is the content of the last half an hour of this show. That is insane.
Damn. You know, I hadn't really thought of it that way. That is kind of appalling.
It is awful. It's so bad. Like, I talk about pacing. We talk about pacing all the time, right? Of how WWE is bad, but we've tried to limit out, because it gets really boring when we just say WWE doesn't know how to pace shows all the time, because it's old news. We know they don't, right? Yeah. This was exceptionally bad. Like, this is why I'm bringing it up so much here, because this is so bad. Like, and ModMother just pointed out in the chat as well, I feel so bad for the people who paid to be there. Like, yeah. You got nothing out of this. I don't know what to say about the show anymore. There was nothing on it. Do you want to know something crazy, right? I'm just going to bring up a quick screenshot here. The total time wrestled on SmackDown. Dear.
I love it when this gets brought up.
Look at those matches!
Jesus.
There's five of them on this show. Five matches. One of them went 9 minutes. Cool. That's fine. That's, you know, a solid amount of time for a TV match. 9 minutes, that's about average, right? What you'd expect for an average TV match. There was four others. The longest one was 3 minutes and 50 seconds. 1:35 for Los Lotharios versus Viking Raiders. 2 minutes for Woods versus Jey Uso, which ended in DQ. Sheamus and Cesaro at 3:50, and then 15 seconds for the main event. Like, good God, there is nothing on the show. The main event of Rampage had more wrestling in it than the entirety of SmackDown.
Yo, this show sucks.
This show is so bad, Tempest.
I did not have, like, strong feelings about this show one way or the other. Like, I knew it sucked, but my eyes just kind of glazed over while I was watching it, and I just kind of went, ah, who cares? I'm watching SmackDown. I know it's going to be bad, and I just kind of put it out of my mind. Like, that's it. I just kind of didn't care. I didn't care this week. Nothing made me, like, outrageously angry. If I went to that show, I would, like, want my money back.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you get nothing out of it.
This is why that I don't go to WWE shows anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might go to a pay-per-view or a takeover. Remember when those were a thing. A pay-per-view or a big show, an NXT event, something like that. But I won't go to a Raw or SmackDown anymore. I haven't in years. Because for Christ's sake, there's like 12 minutes of wrestling on that show.
In a two-hour show as well. A two-hour show.
That's brutal. Oh, like,
see, the thing is,
Lord, you get to see Happy Talk, Pete. You get to see Happy Talk. It's what everyone pays to see when they go to SmackDown.
Oh my God. I saw someone say, I can't remember whether it was in the comments of the edited review I did earlier today or on the community tab for the poll or something. Someone said, we all know that WWE doesn't put on wrestling shows anymore, right? Sure. But they're also not any other kind of show.
Yeah.
They're just, what are they? They're nothing.
It's a good question. Because I just saw someone say, like, you could get away with this if, like, the entertainment on the show was good. You know? Like, there probably wasn't a whole lot of wrestling on, like, Raws from 1999 or whatever, sure. Right? There probably wasn't a lot of actual in-ring wrestling. There wasn't a lot of great technical wizardry. Mm. But when you've got Steve Austin messing around with Vince McMahon, you can kind of get away with it. You know, when the main event segment is awesome and it's Steve Austin driving a beer truck in or a Zamboni or the concrete truck, or you do the bedpan thing in the hospital scene,
yeah.
Which, like, I think like four of those all took place like one after the other, like weeks after each other. It's crazy. But if you have those moments, you can get away with not having the wrestling, but they don't have any of those moments now.
No.
You know, they've just got Happy Talk.
Ugh.
Man. Podcast really does get me worked up.
Dude, I'm never this
passionate.
Except no,
I am.
Except when I'm doing this show, I just, oh my God, I stopped watching the show. I just went, you can't be serious. Like, what was it? Nothing happened on this show. Like, nothing happened. Like, the thing that was good on this show was Sasha Banks versus Shayna Baszler, which was a 9 minute match. It was good. I'm not going to go as far as say it was great or amazing or anything, but it was a good match. They put on a very good match to start off this show. And it was meaningless because it didn't further any stories or anything. It was just a match. And that's fine. If you want to put on an exhibition match between two very good wrestlers, that's cool. That's great. But you need to have other stuff to back that up. Do you know what you didn't have on this show? Literally anything else of substance.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this last night when I watched it. And oh boy, people have a lot of thoughts on this. That's nice to see. Get in your Ultra Chats. Share your opinion. I was thinking about this last night, you know, because I don't think a lot of the time that any one particular segment of WWE programming is like, obviously there are exceptions to this, but I don't think any one particular segment on this show was like outwardly terrible, you know?
Yeah.
It's when you stitch together 2 hours of it in a row, and it's like, you can have a really great heat segment. And Lord knows, if you have one of them on a show, it will really stand out and it'll be really, really great. The problem is when you do 2 straight hours of it, where on this show did people get a chance to go, yay?
Ah, well, Tempest, Sasha, you missed Banks the bit where
winning, perhaps?
You missed the bit where Tony Storm pied Charlotte Flair, makes it all now.
Christ. But it's just incessant heat. These shows are designed to be depressing.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. It's not even just pacing in terms of blocking out the show, but it's pacing in terms of the actual storylines themselves. You know? There's no hope spots anymore. It's whatever. Like, yeah, it's a bad show, but it doesn't have to be, you know, because again, if you went and if you watched these things, maybe this has something to do with it. If you went and watched the clips of just what you wanted to see on SmackDown and you just watched one little clip of what you wanted to see, that was a pretty good segment. This show must have been all right. Oh, here's another segment. Oh, that segment was pretty good. But you're not sitting down and watching 2 hours of it straight, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the problem to me, is when you watch 2 hours of this show, you just get the same heat over and over and over again. And you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it, but it sucks. It's real bad. And as we constantly mention about having all the negative ones throughout the show, you can have those negative ones, but if it gets covered by a load of really positive stuff, you can get away with that kind of thing. When you go, oh, there's these minor things that are wrong, but you got all this positive stuff. It was still a really enjoyable show. When you strip away all the positives, all you're left with is just the negative ones. So all the tiny little things just chip away at you through the show. And by the end, you're just like, I hate every single little thing on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's depressing.
It is. And this is where we say that, like, you know, you don't have the goodwill with WWE that you have with like AEW, where it's like, oh, if something goes wrong on AEW, you just be like, it's whatever. You put it out of your mind and you move on. And people will call you biased and everything, and that's fine. That's their right to do it. But it's not so much a bias as just you haven't been conditioned by AEW to expect things to be terrible all the time. So if you do get a really terrible segment or a bad match or what have you, a storyline beat that doesn't make any sense, it's one negative one on a show as opposed to 50. And when there's only one, you can put that out of your mind a little bit easier and just be like, they missed on that one. We'll get they'll get them on the next time, because that's where the goodwill comes in. It's not even just like, oh, they can let it play out. It's that, oh, the next show will be good. I don't need to be like, oh, well, this company is trash now.
Yeah.
But WWE, I don't have any goodwill with them anymore. So when you've got endless negative ones, you just chip away at the whole show. I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt that you're going to fix them or that things are going to be better.
No. This company is incompetent at writing the show. It's real bad.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll talk about some other stuff in a little bit on this show. But let's get into your Ultra Chats here. Make sure to get those in at wrestletalk.com/support. Nick Carter says, promote Rocky's current movie, but also sink the enjoyability of his flagship show. Well, trade-offs, I guess.
There's a new Rocky movie? I'd rather watch that than SmackDown. you ever watch the Rocky movies, Pete?
I've seen a few of them here and there. Good. Yes. They are good. Aren't they?
Adrian! Adrian! I might watch that today. I'll watch Creed, too. Shout out to Michael B. Jordan. He's great.
I like Michael B. Jordan. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he likes anime.
Nice.
So is Killmonger. In canon.
True, yeah. Van Twinblade says, bad WWE is bad. No one can see this coming. Everyone is shocked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck Cassis says, Tempest, I'm going to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament today and would love to have some motivation from LIW. Also, haven't watched WWE in 2 years and it's great. Love the stash, Pete. Hope you all have a great day on this wonderful Saturday. Much love and God bless. Thank you very much, Chuck.
Chuck, believe in the heart of the cards.
I could have done that. I don't even know Yu-Gi-Oh!, but I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heart of the cards.
Believe in the heart of the cards. Do it, also, you'll win.
I've seen a few people saying that I look like a bald Miro. So, Miro, then.
Interesting. Because
he doesn't have hair, right? Like, so Miro.
You just look saying. Like Miro.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll take it. Miro is an incredibly handsome man. Yeah. I'll take that. Joe Schmo said, two things. Number one, creative could have told the story of how Jey Uso hasn't been pinned since last year. Number two, I honestly believe that the cream pie storyline between Flair and Storm is an inside joke between Vince and his cohorts. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
Yeah. It's crazy. We'll talk about more about the Jey Uso thing in a bit. Anonymous says, this is the most interesting stuff Brock has done in years. At the same time, it exposed how thin and meaningless the current main event scene is. Is there a Writer 52 service? Get 10 free quality writers. Only paying for postage and shipping. Buy Beer 52.
They really could use them.
They really could. Also, beer52.com/wrestletalk. Go click the thing.
Yeah, 10 free craft beers. They don't need more writers, though. You need less writers. Unless the 10 writers that you're getting are the ones from WWE.
Mm-hmm. True,
taking
yeah.
them away from SmackDown.
Yeah. Liam Leonard says, I'm sorry, I feel like I jinxed this from our call on Tuesday. Sorry, lads. Going to enjoy the OTT event, whether it's actual wrestling. Love you guys. The pain of watching it live is times 10. Why do you watch it live, you nutter? Also, hi, Liam.
Hi, Liam. I mean, I have to watch it live, because otherwise I just won't have time to watch
well,
this.
Yeah, you're an exception, but for Liam, who's in Ireland,
yeah, that's
why are you watching
point.
It live?
Yeah.
You crazy so-and-so. Peyton Carter says, I timed how long it took from Sammy's entrance to when Roman came out, and I landed somewhere around 27 minutes, not including Roman's entrance. This made me so mad I screamed. Then Roman's entrance was another 3 minutes 30 seconds. Yes! Thank you! Thank you. That's what we're talking about. Because it was
27 minutes.
It was 25 minutes of the show left, not including 3 ad breaks.
This show is terrible.
This show is so bad, Tempest. It's so bad.
Oh my god. Like, oh my god. Do
I don't
you
know how
want
else
to just
to
turn this
it.
Into like a Pokemon podcast or a Last Airbender podcast?
I would love to. I'd absolutely love to turn it into, into something else that's not SmackDown, because Jesus Christ. Eternal Blue said, my last Raw before I started boycotting WWE was the Sami Zayn electric chair thing that was here in, oh God,
Kansas City.
I know America.
Here I come. You know, that's the song that The Rock turned into the Sacramento thing for the Rock concert.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Tidbits.
There you go.
So that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, fact checking. Seeing the weird pacing only gets worse after watching them start and restart Shane's entrance 3 times live is embarrassing. 16 minutes and 40 seconds of wrestling. How?
Yeah it's pretty trash. Not going to lie.
Yeah it's real bad.
Trash. I can't imagine going to see this show live. I would have been sickened. But then again, I wouldn't go.
No, I wouldn't go either. Also, you know? Dustin Yoda says his favorite steel type is Aggron. My favorite Pokemon is Aggron.
Hell yeah. Hell y'all yeah. got that in common.
Hell yeah. Love it.
Pokemon.
Riot DR says, Sami Zayn's music hits and I check the time. I have hope. This should be good. And then the recaps begin. I lose that hope. Sami then keeps talking and I know how this ends. I pick up my phone and wait for Rampage. At least Brock and Sami were funny.
Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's a decent little opening segment. Like,
what would it have cost them to just have Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn go out and have like a 4.5 star match for 25 minutes?
And Sami is totally capable of it as well.
You know?
Like, I don't know, man. Oh, like, Lord. See, yeah. And the thing is as well, right? That like, yes, the opening segment I thought was okay. With Sammy and Brock intimidating Sammy, and I thought it was they were both decent and charismatic and all that jazz, right? But the problem is, it's setting up for the thing later. So the thing later needs to work for that segment to be considered good. It's like you know, in the classic example I always think of is Game of Thrones, right? A lot of the previous seasons were really good because they were teasing and setting up future things, right? There's obviously a bunch of stuff that's really good throughout those episodes, and you have stuff like the Red Wedding, which is amazing because it's a big kind of climactic event, and the lead up to it was amazing, right? But when you have the lead up and the build up and the build up and the build up, and you're building anticipation for the final thing, the big climax thing, and the big climax thing is bad, it retroactively makes all the stuff building up to it worse. So even though the opening segment was good, the ending segment and main event match being bad then made that segment worse. That's just how things work. Soz.
Yahoo.
Yeah. It's terrible. Jonathan Edmonds said, good appropriate time of day, amigos. This might be an unpopular opinion, but both shows felt skippable. Was not sports entertained. Enjoy the not war games in the real. I'm mostly fine. Take care of yourselves and stay in the real. Enjoy the not war games. In the real, I'm mostly fine. Take care of yourselves and stay healthy. Love y'all and jam that Wang.
Ride that the one. Wang man.
Wang
yeah.
man. Wang man. we'll get into the rest of your Ultra Chats later. But before we get into the rest of SmackDown, very quickly wanted to say that we are sponsored by beer, beer52.com/WrestleTalk. This is the last day that we are sponsored by Beer 52. You've been hearing about them throughout the entirety of November. And now we're in December, and this is the last day. So go do the thing, click the link, beer52.com/WrestleTalk. You get 10 free craft beers for UK viewers only. All you have to do is pay for the postage of $5.95. You get these 10 beers sent to you. It's awesome. They're delicious. Beer. It's Christmas time. Beer. What else do I need to say to get you to do this thing? Go click it. It's the last day you can do it. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Do the thing. If you have been sitting on the fence, this is the last day you can do it. So go do it. Beer52. Do it. Let's get into the rest of this episode of SmackDown. So yes, as I briefly mentioned, we'll talk about it a bit more now. Excuse me, sorry, just hit the mic.
It's okay.
As I briefly mentioned at the start, Brock Lesnar came out and he was like, "Well, I bet you're wondering how my suspension was lifted." And I was like, "Yes, Brock, I am wondering that. Something tells me I'm not going to find out why that is, though." And then Sami Zayn interrupted him. I was like, "Yeah, there we go. Checks out."
Yep. And you know what? We're never going to hear about it again.
Nope. He's just back now. It's infuriating, isn't it? And he said he's here for the Universal Championship. Sammy comes out and says, "Well, you know, I'm the number one contender. After I beat Roman at day one, then I'll totally face you afterwards. That's totally fine, but I am facing Roman at day one." And then Brock Lesnar intimidates him. It was quite good. And he said, "I'll be right by your side tonight. I'll make sure that, you know, you're going to have this match and all that stuff." And then he went backstage to Sonya Deville and was trying to say to Sonya Deville, "You know, this is what Brock said, but I don't really want to do that." And then Sonya Deville's just like, "Oh, that sounds like a great idea." And then Brock Lesnar comes in and again intimidates Sami Zayn, and the match gets made. Sami versus Roman in the main event tonight, and Brock Lesnar will face the winner at day one. This was okay.
I thought this was fun. I love Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, I think, is a perfect wrestler.
Yeah.
He is just fabulous. He's a perfect wrestler. He's just perfect. He's hilarious, even when he's not trying to be.
Yeah.
And he's an amazing wrestler. He's everything I want in a wrestler, as long as they, you know, book him properly. I think this was like the most that I've heard Brock Lesnar speak in like 10 years, you know, as far as one segment.
Yeah.
And some of those segments beforehand were not great. This one I thought was perfectly adequate. It's not like I want him to go out and cut a soliloquy or something like that, but he could go out there and just be goofy pro wrestler Brock Lesnar, and it's entertaining and I enjoy it.
Yeah. Did also want to point out just some slight hypocrisy here. Sonya Deville makes the Universal title match for the show tonight, but she told Edge months and months and months ago that she couldn't do a Universal title match without proper promotion. You couldn't do it that week. It's got to be next week, because you just need to promote it properly. The writers don't make sense. No consistency. Anyway, it's just wind me up. Again, just a little minus one. Just a little minus one through the show. Just wound me up a little bit. And also, realistically, if Lesnar really wanted the Universal title, he'd beat up Roman so that Sammy would win. Because
yeah.
Then he could beat Sammy much easier, right?
Yeah. That's correct. Ah, see? That's exactly the segment that I was thinking about.
And
exactly.
It wasn't good. Yep.
No,
and
it wasn't. Was it? It's like the worst contract signing segment that I've ever seen. It went on for like 20 minutes and there was no payoff. Shout out to you, Rayon. You knew what I was talking about.
I knew the exact segment you were talking about, and the amount of times that Brock Lesnar kind of leant back and went, "You see?" when he was trying to figure out what to say next. It was real bad. Then we got Sasha Banks versus Shayna Baszler. This was good. This was a fun little
match.
Yeah.
This is a good match. This is the kind of match that should be built to on pay-per-view.
Yes.
You know, you don't have enough big matches on your SmackDown women's roster to be throwing away important ones in nothing matches. There's no storyline here. There's no build-up whatsoever. You know, like, if you just built up Shayna Baszler as a killer, like properly and not just, oh, here's a promo package of her breaking people's arms. And then Pat McAfee calling it like the Future Endeavors kick. Don't do that, asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's up with WWE people making jokes about firing their own people? Ugh, hate it. Regardless, this was like a good match that should have meant more. And we're how many years into Shayna Baszler's run, and she's still getting beat by like regular wrestling moves.
She came up at the start of 2020, right? I think.
I mean, yeah, but this, I'm talking, this is all the way back to like NXT time. You know, this is like her first takeover match when she lost to Ember Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thought she was going to beat Ember Moon and win the title. She lost to a roll-up, and they were like, MMA, she had an armbar in, and she got rolled up. You know, that's, you know, a fine story to tell when that's your first takeover.
Yep.
Every big match that Shayna Baszler loses, it's because of a roll-up.
Yep, sure is.
You would think that she would learn a counter.
Just one or two, you know?
Just one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I thought the ending sequence was fun. Like, it's if you didn't have the context of Shayna losing by roll up every single time, then it would be a good finish. You know, it would be, you know, they each traded their submissions back and forth and fought out of each other's submissions and went back and forth again, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Roll up, Banks gets the win. I was like, that's good. You know, that's a good little finish. But Shayna loses by roll up every single time, and that just, you know, it grates you down.
There aren't enough top level talent on SmackDown in the women's division for them to be beating Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
For no reason. You know? Yeah. You don't have to do that. If you're going to beat Shayna Baszler, have it mean something. Have it be after a long run as champion where she's dominant and breaking arms and being a scary, mean killer. You can't have that, I suppose.
No. Adam Pearce is on FaceTime because Brock Lesnar's in the building.
He's scared,
which makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. I like this little touch.
That's fine. You know? Yeah. He said he's going to remember the Alamo. And I was like,
San Antonio, you see. I don't know what that had to do with anything.
No, because then I Googled it and I was like, something about Texan independence, but I'm really not sure what that has to do with what he said.
Yeah, it's Texas and Mexico and such, but like...
Sure.
It's a cheap pop. I don't know why.
And then also, Drew McIntyre is there with a giant sword and said, next time you see, and also a claymore. And he said, you know, next time you see Adam Pearce, but tell him I need to see him. And I'm like, he's going to kill him. Like,
that is a terroristic threat.
He's holding out this giant sword to be like, I need to speak to Adam Pearce. Like, do you?
You know what?
Okay.
Write these characters off television forever.
Yeah.
By way of murder.
And then we got Happy Talk.
Yeah. Can we just skip it? Like, whatever. Okay. They cut dumbass jokes and they got beaten up by Drew McIntyre and Jeff Hardy. Cool.
There you go. Done.
Hate it.
Twist of Fate and the Claymore. Christ.
Jeff Hardy doesn't know how to floss, and I think it makes me like him more.
You're just a Jeff Hardy apologist, man.
I sure am. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. Here's a question, though. Do you think Jeff Hardy and Drew McIntyre are going to be a new tag team? Or no?
Define tag team. Like, are they going to win the tag titles?
Will they go for the tag titles?
No, I don't think so. I think they're just going to be like allies.
Maybe, yeah. They've just been seen together for like 2-3 weeks in a row. And, you know, that normally spells, well, throw together tag team, right?
You know, there was, I forget which WWE game it was. It was like SmackDown versus Raw 2010 or 11 or whatever, where you could, in the universe mode, you didn't have to necessarily make someone a tag team, but you could just be like allies with this person, this person, this person. And they just kind of have each other's back sometimes, you know? You just have each other's back. You don't have to go for the tag titles. And then you can be like, really hates this person and this person. It's the people that you're feuding with. Made it a little bit more real. I like it when that kind of stuff happens because people in these companies would have friends.
Yeah. So there you go. They should do that. Yep. Can they coexist? Xia Li is debuting next week. I'm glad we actually have a date for that now.
Yep. Me good. Too. I like these little promo packages. They're neat.
We then got the Viking Raiders versus Los Lotharios. Viking Raiders got a new dance move, haven't they?
Oh, God. Did they change their theme?
They sure did.
I feel like, yeah, they did.
They did.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember the War Raiders? Remember War Machine? That was good times.
That was good, wasn't it?
Remember they called them up when they were tag champions in NXT, and they just gave up the belts because they're like, oh, we got to go up to Raw and be the Viking experience.
I quit. Also, you didn't say the name. The Viking experience.
I saw those guys wrestle an amazing match against the Bullet Club in Ring of Honor in 2015. Mm-hmm. One of them did a big swanton off the top rope to the floor, and we were like, whoa, big man do flip. Wow.
Yeah.
And now they're doing whatever this was.
So the match lasted about a minute. Los Lotharios set up for their tag team finish, and then they waited.
I couldn't figure this out. I would have just gone into business for myself, hit the move and won.
And then Nakamura and Boogs tried to distract him with a guitar. And then they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it's like you were waiting for your cue on that one. But sure, whatever. And then they try and distract Los Lotharios with a guitar, but then Los Lotharios win anyway. They just win with a roll-up.
This was proper rubbish.
It sure was. There was a little spark of hope that was very quickly extinguished immediately afterwards, because I was like, well, Viking Raiders would be pissed, right? That Boogs and Nakamura upset them and distracted them, got the upset victory for Los Lotharios. They're going to be well mad. And then they got out the ring and they stared down Boogs and Nakamura. And I was like, oh, character motivations that make sense. That's great. And then Boogs started playing the guitar to the Viking Raiders theme. And then they all just started going, bleh. And then that was that. Yes, that's what it is.
how I just said that you don't have enough talent to beat Shayna Baszler in matches like this? You don't have enough tag teams to beat the Viking Raiders.
Not at all.
How cool would it be to watch the Viking Raiders face the Usos in like a 20-minute classic for the tag titles?
Yeah, man.
Oh. This is why I hate this company.
Mm-hmm.
Because I look at the roster and be like, that's a cool match. That's a cool match. I want to see that cool match. But they have no interest in doing any of them. So why would I be interested in the show?
Got a recap of Charlotte and Toni Storm from last week. Toni Storm did a backstage promo. We then got Jey Uso versus King Woods. Pat McAfee saying, that's main event Jey Uso. Why isn't he in the main event then?
Yeah.
The Usos then called out. They said, what's wrong with you, Sami Zayn? Calling out Roman Reigns. It's like, he's the number one contender. Okay. And then Woods comes out and drags out for ages that he's got a surprise because they don't like surprises, but he's got a surprise. You know another surprise? Oh, do you want to know the surprise? I got a surprise. Do you know the surprise? It's Kofi Kingston. And I was like, yeah.
I'm obviously so surprised.
Yeah. I hate it. There was a few things that wound me up on commentary for this episode, which was the one that I mentioned already, immediately at the end of the Sheamus match, and him just going, let's take it back to the thing before Sheamus had even had a chance to celebrate. There was one here where Woods is like teasing the surprise, and Pat McAfee goes, what's it going to be, Cole? It's like, it's Kingston. Pat, please. Like, stop. My God.
That was on one tonight or last night.
Sure was. And there was one that came. There's another line from Pat that came at the end of this match. Kofi Kingston's back. Yay. They had a match. It lasted 2 minutes. And then Jimmy Uso calls the DQ.
Why bother?
Waste of time. Yeah. Much like, again, the headline for this podcast episode, this match was pointless. It was a waste of time.
It was. It was a waste of time. If you don't want to do a finish, don't book the match.
Whatever. But then, as they're walking off, Pat McAfee has another gold line saying, the Bloodline don't get the win, but I don't think they really care. You're right, Pat. They don't care about losing. Unfortunately, you're right.
This is a bad show.
This is what I mean, Tempest. There's so many just like minus ones through the show that just wound me up, and I'm like, I hate this product.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Reigns is upset with Heyman for not knowing stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know Kofi was back. Did you know about Heyman? Did you know about Lesnar? Shut up.
Brock Lesnar was advertised for this show.
Sure was. Yeah. They literally announced it last week. Like, the last thing of last week was... Like Reigns was there. Like, he knew. Whatever. We then got Woods, Kingston, and Aaliyah backstage. Aaliyah's still there, knocking around. Kingston says it's day one, it's going to be New Day versus Usos. I don't understand how you can book a New Day versus Usos match, and I don't care about it. But somehow, they've done it.
Yeah. It's really impressive when you think about it.
Yeah.
WWE is ceasing production of their DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes me sad. I haven't bought one in like 6-7 years or whatever, but I've got a lot of them. I'd rather talk about any of those.
Have you got? Oh no, if you've not bought any in a while, I was going to say, have you got the Hell in a Cell match between New Day and Usos? Because we could just go back and watch that and talk about that instead.
I unfortunately do not have that one. I don't remember what the most recent one that I have is. But there's a lot of them over here. I would honestly rather just be like, well, look, let's look at these. Let's look at this match listing. Look at all the things that are on here. Doesn't this sound like a fun watch?
Christ. Yeah.
Got Shawn Michaels DVD on my desk. I'd rather watch some Shawn Michaels matches.
Mm-hmm. We can do that. but first we need to talk about Charlotte Flair, who cut a promo. I know all of you thought it was funny when I pied Tony Storm. No, Charlotte, you are wrong. It was not funny. But then, when she goes, I know it was funny. I know that all of you thought it was funny. I don't know who it was, whether it was Pat McAfee or Michael Cole. Someone on commentary just going, just laughing and shut up! It's not funny! Jesus! Really pissed me off in this episode. Ugh. Charlotte takes ages to essentially just say no to Toni Storm's challenge. She walks off, takes ages leaving the ring, holding up the title. Oh, it's Toni Storm behind her with a pie. She pies Charlotte.
Someone in the front row ate that pie. Like,
sure did.
Wouldn't it be nice if instead of a loser-ass babyface coming out and being like, I want a title shot, and then the champion being like, no.
No.
How about instead you just have the babyface win a bunch of matches and earn a title shot?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I hate this show. I hate that this is the norm now, where you don't have people earning title shots. You have a bunch of losers going like, me next. Me. I want a title shot. I want the title shot. And then just be like, no. And then you have to pie face Charlotte Flair in order to get a title shot. Just have wins and losses matter.
Toni Storm hasn't won a match since her
debut.
She lost in the Queen's Crown tournament first round.
Survivor Series.
First person eliminated from Survivor Series. She should not be getting a title match in kayfabe. Oh, God. But then, even though Toni got the upper hand on this one, right? Toni got the upper hand by doing the pie face to Charlotte, right? She still looked like a proper geek. Because after she hit it, she started jumping around being like, ha, 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 I got you! I'm the best! I got you! It's like, you look like an absolute moron. Please stop.
I love Toni Storm so much.
She's so great! I love Toni Storm! She looked so stupid. Oh, my God.
Lord.
I hated this show. Ricochet got a video promo. Whoop-dee-doo. Sheamus vs. Cesaro. It was whatever. It was 3 minutes. These two are great. We love Sheamus and Cesaro. But they can obviously do so much more.
No, that's not the thing that they do. There we go. Yeah. Who does this? We do this.
We do that, Tempest.
I forgot our own
gimmick. That's our thing.
I was like, wait a minute. No, that's not right. This is more like a bar than what they do.
That's true, yeah.
You know?
Like it was fun, but it was 3 minutes. So,
yeah.
Can't really talk about it too much. Then we had all the stuff that I mentioned before. Naomi in the backstage segment with Sonya Deville wanted a match with Sonya. Sonya accepted it and said, sure, as long as I got this suit on, though, I'm the boss and you can't touch me, and then slapped her across the face.
This
cool.
That's not how life works.
No, not at all.
I know it's wrestling and it's dumb,
mm.
but that's, you just go to an HR department and Sonya Deville would be fired.
Yeah.
You know,
that's actual workplace harassment right there.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's stupid. Like, there's ways to do this mm. to have it not be stupid. Like, yeah. make Naomi sign a contract saying that she can't touch Sonya Deville unless it's in a wrestling match. But Sonya mm-hmm. Deville can do whatever she wants if Naomi wants the wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
You just do that and then you can do this. But just be like, haha, I'm the boss. You can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so dumb. But this show is so dumb. At least we're getting some progression here. We now have a match. I don't believe the match is actually going to happen.
It's not going to happen. No, not a chance.
At least this happens.
Do you want to know, Tempest? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to be mad if the match doesn't happen. Do you want to know what I'm going to be more mad at? If the match happens and it goes like 2 minutes and Naomi wins and then that's it and they never talk about it again. Like, can you imagine if that's what the build-up's for?
That would be about right for this company.
That'd be real bad. Do you want to know the best thing about this show, though, Tempest?
Because you're speaking
about a lot of negatives. The best thing about the show. Support WrestleTalk t-shirt in the
front. Yeah!
Hell yeah. Thank you, that fan. You're great. Thank you for that. Anyway, should we talk about Rampage now?
What did you give this show, Pete?
Oh, I don't care. I gave it a don't care out of 5. That's not true. In the edited review, I gave it a 2 because I was being nice, but it's a 1.
It's a 1. This show sucks.
It's a 1.
It's a couple of 1s in a row. That's rough.
Yeah. It's real bad. Back-to-back. Really bad episodes. Back-to-back.
Yeah. Remember when the show was like, all right?
Yeah.
Those were
I remember
good times.
When the show was all right. Do you remember when we were excited about Roman Reigns stuff?
Yeah.
I don't.
It's a long time ago. It's a long time ago. It's December.
It is.
I haven't cared about a Roman Reigns thing since, like, I don't know, he was facing Cesaro.
Yeah, and that was
May.
That was May.
Show was bad.
Seven months.
Yeah, show was bad. It's a bad show.
Rampage is a show that happened, which had more wrestling in just the main event than the entirety of SmackDown. Just gonna throw that out there again. Yeah. Just saying. Another match that almost came as long as the entirety of the amount of wrestling on SmackDown was the opener, which was Sammy Guevara versus Tony Nese for the TNT Championship. I thought this was a very fun match. I know you said in your edited review that you've never been super into Tony Nese and Sammy Guevara is still not catching you as champion. And I do agree with the Sammy Guevara bit. I really don't think he's connecting as TNT champion right now, but I really like Tony Nese in this match. I thought he looked very good. I don't think he's, you know, the greatest wrestler. I don't think he needs to be pushed to the main event or anything like that at all, but I think he looked very good. And, you know, they unveiled the official signing of Tony Nese as well. And I think he's a solid signing for them. I think he's a good talent and they can put him to good use in this company. I think he looked very good here, but Sammy got the win. Fun match.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough for me with Tony Nese because I look at the guy and he's obviously like very talented.
Mm.
But I don't think there's any one thing about him that's unique. Like, I look at him and I saw him do this match and I was like, it's a good match for sure. But I think there are already a number of people on the AEW roster who could have the same match. And there's nothing about his character that makes me care, you know? He's a very bland wrestler to me. Like, I don't have a lot of flavor when it comes to Tony Nese. And I feel like I'm really ragging on the guy, but, like, I just don't think he's particularly charismatic. You know, it's like he can do a great 450 for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I feel like you need more than that in wrestling these days. And yeah, like you said, I didn't think that Sammy Guevara came out of this like looking particularly strong. And I think that's kind of been like a running theme for his title reign. And it's weird because obviously you're following the great TNT title reign of Miro, and his matches should not be anything like Miro's because they're two very different wrestlers. But I felt that like Darby Allin, when he was TNT champion, is a smaller guy and obviously has to like go through a lot of punishment in each of his matches. But he comes out of them still looking very strong. And it's a very like decisive, he's the better wrestler. He beat this guy. And he did that like time after time after time and ended up being like a really strong TNT champion. Every time Sammy Guevara defends this title, I'm like, it feels like he's about to lose it. Like, it feels like he's winning by the skin of his teeth every time. And I just wanted to see him go out there and beat Tony Nese like really, really decisively. And I didn't really get that. It was still like a really good match, don't get me wrong. But I need one defining performance out of Sammy Guevara as TNT champion where he just is the better wrestler by a lot, you know? And I don't think we've gotten that yet. I still loved his match with Jay Lethal. I enjoyed his match with Bobby Fish. But like, I didn't think that Bobby Fish should be that close to beating Sammy Guevara either.
Yeah.
You know, these are the matches where I want Sammy Guevara to really shine, and I don't feel like he's shining.
That's totally fair. I agree with you 100% on the Sammy stuff. I don't know who should beat him for it, but I feel like someone should beat him sooner rather than later.
You know who it should be? An open challenge.
I've got a suggestion as well, but yeah. Go ahead.
Shane Strickland.
Ooh, yeah, that's my one. I was going to say Swerve, yeah. Absolutely should.
Yeah, just have him come in and do like the open challenge, anybody come in and have the guy beat him.
Yeah.
Done deal. I would be over the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see.
With regard to the Tony Nese thing as well, I think you're right. I think he is lacking a bit of personality right now. But I do think that if there's a place to cultivate a personality, AEW is probably the place to do it. So I don't think I'm not writing him off right now, as I think he's got potential to be very, very good because I think he's got all the tools for the in-ring stuff already. He just needs to develop that character. And, you know, maybe he'll find a storyline where something just clicks and he'll become great, which is what I hope for, because I think he's very good.
Yeah, I totally feel the same way. Like I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. In this case, especially because Tony Nese hasn't been there that long, you know, so I'm just like, okay, like he had a good match. I think he should be able to find something in AEW if he's going to find something anywhere. Yeah. It's just like with Sammy Guevara, because he won the title like 3 months ago, you know, I'm ready for the next bit.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. Yeah. Yeah. Christian and Jurassic Express did a promo. Christian's turning heel. Like,
absolutely.
Like he just is, right?
He is, and I can see it coming, and I'm just like, I still can't wait. I can't wait for this moment. Oh,
it's going to be good.
I love Christian dearly.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be good. Jade Cargill faced Jinai Kai next. Lasted 30 seconds. She won.
Yeah.
But then, because Jinai Kai is Thunder Rosa's protege, so to speak, Thunder Rosa was on commentary.
The kick demon.
Don't know if I like that. I'll be real with you.
She's the demon of Team Kick.
Oh, no!
We found the other member of Team Kick.
You're combining bad things there, Tempest. Thunder Rosa was on commentary building to the TBS tournament match between Thunder Rosa and Jade Cargill. They did a brawl afterwards because Cargill was looking to beat up Jinai Kai some more. So Thunder Rosa stepped in to stop her. I thought this was good. It built the match effectively. And this is a squash match that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I would like, and I know we got one last week with Riho and Britt Baker, but I would like the women's matches on Rampage to not be the one in the middle that goes 30 seconds as often as they are, you know?
I will say, it's more often than not, it's a Jade Cargill match. Like, Jade Cargill, yeah. Like, Rampage is her show. Like, that's what she do. She do the Rampage, and she wins very quickly, because that's what Jade Cargill does. So I think if they featured some other wrestlers that aren't Jade Cargill on Rampage, then we'd probably get longer matches.
Yeah. Maybe. I agree. It's just an observation. But this was like, this is good. It's just when you see it time after time, I'm just like, okay, I want a longer match in the middle.
Though. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
We then got a promo from the Super Click. Don Callis walks by on his phone. Hello, Don Callis. Nice to see you again, mate.
He's still there.
Yeah. And Young Bucks are going to return to action after they've been healing up from their crazy matches that they've been having. And they're going to fight the Best Friends on Wednesday. Best Friends really being Rocky Romero and the other guy that I've forgotten.
Chuck Taylor.
Chuck Taylor in it, yeah.
I wish that Trent would come back. Like, I know he's hurt and everything, but yeah. I if he was healing up and we could have had like Roppongi Vice or Best Friends, oh, both of those would have been really, really good.
Yeah. And it, yes, I know, technically it's the team of Chaos, not Best Friends, but they said they wanted to fight Best Friends. Bring your best two, is who they said to Best Friends. So it's going to be Rocky Romero and forgotten his bloody name again. Chuck Taylor. Goodness me. Eddie Kingston cut a promo. Eddie Kingston's great. He's always a great promo.
Yeah.
Good. To further the stuff with 2.0. Cool. And then we had a really great video promo for the Danielson and Silver match coming up on Dynamite. I thought this was wonderful because Danielson was making a point to say, this is how you put over your opponent, right? He's saying, John Silver is amazing. John Silver's fantastic because you are the sum of the five people you hang out with the most.
Mm-hmm.
What if John Silver had hung out with a more elite kind of person? Where would he be now? Because instead he's just been goofing around doing stuff with the Dark Order, and look where he is. He's nobody, right? But he's got all the tools to make something out of himself. Like, it puts him over as a guy who could legitimately beat Danielson. He's not going to, obviously, but it just keeps it going that when Danielson wins, he's put over, he's beaten someone who is good.
Bryan Danielson just makes me swoon.
Oh, he's the greatest.
This was a masterclass of a video package.
Mm.
You know, put him over, but also just said, like, is John Silver going to be able to beat me? Mm-mm. I love this. I can't wait for this match. I want this match to be like 20 minutes in a blowaway performance. Although I think it means that we're not going to get Bryan Danielson and Stu Grayson, which is a decision. I thought that would have been like, oh, that's the match I want to see the most of the Dark Order matches. Mm-hmm. But oh well.
Oh well. We then got the main event. FTR versus Pac and Penta. This was fun.
This was real fun. This was real us fun. Against Pac and Pac and Penta. You and I, so, we are FTR.
Yeah, we are FTR, AAA Tag Champions. That's us.
Hell yeah.
And I thought it was really good. I again, all of these guys are such good wrestlers. I like the storytelling they did with Pac having the eye patch, of that kind of hindering him, like he went to do a springboard but intentionally like botched it because he has no depth perception because of the eye patch, right? So then they played off that and Pac got worked over and Penta got the hot tag back in and it was really good. Went back and forth for ages. Finish. I'm not sold on the finish. I'll be real. I just don't like distraction / disqualification-ish finishes in general. I get why they did it. Malakai Black came out, did the mist into Pac's face, and then FTR got the win. It was fine. I just don't like that sort of thing generally. It makes sense for this feud, I guess, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe the mist gets a pass because it's the mist rather than just, I'm
here. I
think
that was it for me. Yeah. You know, like, I think it being the mist was enough for me because I agree. I think they do these kind of finishes like way too much in AEW. I think that is one of the bigger like negative ones on the AEW side of things. They do distraction finishes because they don't do DQs. But you know what? I prefer a distraction over a DQ.
Agreed. So,
at least there's that. But this match I thought was like, it was really good. I thought that they were just kind of a step off from each other in places early on. Like, there was a moment where Pac and Dax Harwood just kind of like stood from each other, and they just kind of like, there was like a beat, and then Pac hit a hip toss, and it just felt like, oh, what do we do? Do the thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, you could just kind of see it happening in places. Like, there were bits of like the hot tag where it took like an extra beat in order for someone to turn around and do things. It just felt like they were a step off from each other in places. But the longer it went, the more cohesive it was. And I thought that, that really kind of helped. I really like how AEW has woven all of these people together. So we can now have all these combinations of matches, you know? Because, like, people gave the Cody universe, the Codyverse, like, a hard time for a while because it felt disconnected from the rest of AEW, right? It's like, it's what he's doing. He's in his little bubble. He doesn't interact with other people. It's not the case now. There's, like, eight people that are all involved in each other's storylines and can wrestle each other, you know? And they don't have that much to do with each other. It's just really cool to see Malakai Black and Andrade and Pac and Cody Rhodes and Rey Fénix and Penta and Dax and Cash Wheeler. That's eight guys that can all now wrestle each other, and you can have different combinations of all of these matches. And that's how you can stretch these things out for as long as they do without giving away the big matches. You can have Dax Harwood against Pac on TV, and that match is still going to be great, but you're not giving away the big pay-per-view matches. It's just like, it's really smart booking that makes it so you can have so many more matches and have everything feel fresh. This is how these shows don't get boring.
I also did like that Malakai Black specifically like targeted Pac's eye, like with the mist. And then after the match, he was like gouging away at Pac's eye.
Needs the shard.
Where that's going to lead, I'm not sure, but... You know, I've seen people in the chat and on Twitter and stuff speculating that like Pac is gonna like have the same sort of like corruption thing that Malakai does now or something like that.
Yeah, force corruption.
See where that goes, you know?
Yeah.
That would be fun.
It's fun. I mean, Malakai Black has been teasing an arrival of somebody for the House of Black, which just sign Brody King already. It's gonna be amazing. You're already PWG tag champions. Just sign Brody King. Turn the Butcher and the Blade. I know the Butcher just got hurt, but like those four guys together, that's a pretty cool package. I like that. I like that a lot. You know, but maybe they'll surprise me with somebody else. But I'm interested. I'm ready. I'm ready for all of it. I'm ready for anything.
Yeah, and that was the show for Rampage. It was good. Yeah, it was good. I feel like you said it in your interview, and we've been saying it for a few weeks now, that it's starting to definitively feel like the B show now. Like, most of it is missable, which is unfortunate. Like, some stuff happens, like the Malakai Pack stuff happens, but, like, overall, it's just an hour of wrestling. And it's good wrestling. It's great wrestling. But it is just an hour of wrestling without any of, like, the normal substance of and the meat of the stuff that you get on Dynamite. It was still, like, a good 4 out of 5 show, though. It wasn't a bad match on this card, but it needs to have a bit more oomph.
A little bit. It is what it is, but if there was just, like, if I watched this show and felt like I needed to watch that show, I think it would have really, you know, it would help it a lot if there was always something on this show that felt must-see, and I don't feel like that's the case.
Yeah,
like you said, it's still like a high 3 or a low 4 of a show, but give me something that makes me say, oh, you got to see this week's Rampage.
Exactly.
If someone asks, should I watch Rampage, I'd be like, yeah, you can if you want. So you don't have to, but it's a good hour of wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, give us a Kingston Punk promo
every week.
Or a Danielson Suzuki every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
You had Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah.
You know.
Get Ishii on the show. Goodness me. Before we get into the rest of your Ultra Chats, we need to say thank you to some special people. Those are our $25 and above pledge hammers over on our Patreon page. You haven't been to our Patreon page, by the way. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Right now, until Monday, the poll is up for WrestleTalk Extra for December, where it's a very close race right now. Let me refresh the page and I'll tell you exactly what the percentages are. It's close. Where you get to decide what show Ollie and Luke review for December. Right now in the lead is NXT TakeOver London, which is quite interesting, because there's obviously Finn Balor's Mojo. I think it's apt to do a TakeOver now that they don't exist anymore. Some interesting matches on that, like, you know, Baron Corbin versus Apollo Crews, Dash and Dawson versus Colin Cassidy and Enzo Amore.
Yeah, you and I wrestled Enzo and Cass.
Exactly, yeah. No. We're FTR. We're not Dash and Dawson. There's different people.
You know? I see.
Yeah. That's interesting. But behind that, in second place right now, is Armageddon 2008.
I've got that DVD.
Yeah.
I could pull that and one? Be like, oh, look at it. Watch this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously a few other shows that are in contention right now, but go over there and vote if you've not done so already. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk. You can choose what show they review, and then they'll review it. And then the show is out later this month. $5 for all of that. Crazy. And also, if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show much like this one. So, let me get to the top here. Thank you to NJ Hornsberg. Woo! Yeah. Thank you.
The $100 man, CD Horver.
Yeah. The Kessel Run, DX Solo. Yeah.
Ryan Disco Stewart.
Yeah. Superkick, Nick Mizesco. Yeah.
Mad Mac, the Meat Father.
Yeah. Double L, Liam Leonard.
Yeah. The Findicator, Finn Brennan.
Yeah. The Mayor of Painesville, Dan. Yeah.
Brandon, I just make the lists, Sires.
Yeah. You just make the lists. The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
Yeah. He's a sexy man, not an Andrew Gross man. Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you very much, all of our lovely pledge hammers over on our Patreon page. Let's get into, if my computer would stop freezing, it's completely frozen.
Oh, that's dear. Great. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats.
Let's do that. Take them over, Tempest. I can still
this
hear
is
you.
This final call for Ultra Chats, wrestletalk.com/support. Adam B. Cakebread says, hi, Pete, and Wish Mysterio. That's
Mysterio.
I'll take it. SmackDown was so bad that me breaking my leg in three places after falling over chasing sheep and being stuck in the wind and rain for 2 hours was more enjoyable. Wish Wrestling Entertainment. Cheers, lads. Aiden. Oh, my Lord.
Jesus.
I hope that didn't happen recently.
I'm sorry
to hear that,
that,
even though you called me Wish Mysterio. maybe that's karma.
It's good,
Adam.
It's good. Yeah.
Lashmi Narasimhan B says Steve Austin was built up as a big star, so that those segments were awesome. Now, other than Roman, no one is built up to that extent. They can't even lather, rinse, repeat the same stuff again. Also, 1 hour Rampage has more wrestling than a 2 hour SmackDown. No, the main event of Rampage has more wrestling than SmackDown.
Yep,
which is considerably crazy. More depressing.
Yep,
sure Ben is. Twinblade says, at Glory Pro for the last few months, Ethan Price and Paco have been feuding and interfering in each other's matches. The difference between WWE and Glory Pro is that Ethan and Paco are the only ones that are doing this right now. Yeah, you can get away with distractions and DQ if it's like one thing and not all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Riot DR says, Shayna Baszler, the MMA Pokemon. This fighting type finds enjoyment in joint manipulation. While her strikes and submissions are deadly, she's vulnerable to surprise roll-ups of many varieties. I wish I had, like, a Pokedex voice. Mm-hmm. Shayna Baszler.
The MMA Pokemon.
I like that. I want, you know what? I will task someone, one of our listeners, to do Pokemon Pokedex entries for every member of the WWE roster, and love them. It would just absolutely tickle me.
Email them to support@wrestletalk.com. Send them in.
Yeah, we'll read them out on the podcast.
Yeah.
Brian Wilkowski says, WWE is hopeless, so I'll focus on AEW. I hope media starts to call out Tony for the state of the women's division. Months into the TBS championship, and we still only get one women's match per show, with maybe one Brit segment occasionally. Additionally, it's frustrating. It is a bit frustrating, but I do appreciate that when we get the big matches, they're like Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander, which I thought was just, like, incredible. You know? So, it's better than what we got before, where we didn't even get the big matches. Now, at least the matches that we get are given more time, but I agree. I would like more than one match per show and such and such. And Brian Wilkowski continues saying, just to point out the double standards, Orange Cassidy doesn't have a good program in months, still on weekly. Cody fails to get over as a face. Company doubles down on his TV time. Rosa and Sheeta get over tremendously. See you both once every 2 weeks at best. Yeah.
Good point.
I think it's a little bit apples to Orange Cassidy's in that case.
Hey.
A little bit. I agree, but I would use different examples personally. William Rosmer says, Pete's mustache is enough to convert me. LIW for life. Hashtag pretty Pete.
That's me.
Just so pretty.
Just so pretty. Yes. Yes,
Chuck Cassis? I don't know. Chuck says, Miro, just take off the glasses. We all know this British wrestling podcaster gimmick is just to hide from your wife, since you can't go back to her now. It's okay, Pale Miro. We still love you. Also, thanks, Tempest. Miro, are you fine?
Pale Miro. I'll take it. You know? Yeah. I'll take being Pale Miro.
Are you fine? Are you fine?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Are you fine? Are you fine?
I'm fine.
Are you fine?
I'm fine.
Are you fine?
I'm fine.
You are fine.
I'm fine.
Go watch Blood on the Clock Tower.
Shit.
Zoe Sung says, Pete, Tempest 2, you play games. Pokemon speedruns are broken 17 minutes Hall of Fame. Teams, though. I know what you're talking about. I saw that video. You can beat Pokemon Brilliant Diamond in 17 minutes.
Yeah, although they've just done an update, which has apparently made that much harder because they've had a lot of, like, glitches and stuff, which is made it difficult. But you know,
I'm glad someone got on the leaderboard for speedrunners that now can't be broken. Teams though: Infernape, Roserade, Honchkrow, Lucario, Weavile, Togekiss. Rampage was cool. Sammy's really good. Yeah, that's a pretty good team. I love Togekiss. Mm-hmm. That might be a hot take, but Togekiss is awesome.
I love Togekiss, I love Weavile, I love Lucario, and Honchkrow, and Roserade, and Infernape. That's a very, 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 very good team.
Yeah. Good job, Zoe. Thumbs up.
Nice.
Basil Banks says, Sasha versus Shayna was a dream match for me back when Shayna was the Shayna we love. Imagine if this was on pay-per-view with proper build over a title and given 20 minutes. Genuinely don't know what's better, Sasha selling or her wrestling. LIW for life. I think the answer is her selling, but
agreed.
That's not saying that her wrestling is bad. And Lowstone279 says, first time Ultra Chat. Can't wait to see the LIW Redemption Tour, rather, back at the top of Wrestle Talk. Question for you guys. How would you guys do Cody getting back into the world title picture? Hashtag LIW for life. I don't know that I would.
I wouldn't.
I like that they're just sticking to their guns with this thing.
Yep.
I don't know that I would have done it in the first place. But if they're doing this, I think leaving him out is like we do our gimmicks and we do our stipulations and we stick to them. I like that. Also, new member, Lowstone279. Woo!
Thank you very much, Lowstone.
And that'll do it for the rest of our Ultra Chats.
And also for the Ultra Chat, Lowstone. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right, Tempest, let's talk about some more positive stuff. How's the Pokemon going?
Good. I just beat the game last night.
Nice.
Because, like, again, I have not had a lot of time to play this game recently, mm-hmm. just because, you know, work and life and such. But I beat the champion, which I very nearly didn't.
Mm.
She is bulky as hell.
Yeah.
That Garchomp is quick, and it is powerful, and it has a lot of coverage. But thankfully, my useful little Clefable was able to tough out a shot. It knows Poison Jab, and I was like, well, of course it does. But it toughed out a Poison Jab and used Moon Blast or whatever it's called. I think it's Moon Blast to beat it. And I was like, hell yeah, it was my last Pokemon. We went in, came champion. And I spent the rest of my night finishing up the Pokedex, basically, like the Sinnoh Pokedex, because you got to see all the Pokemon before you can do the post game. And there were like five Pokemon that I hadn't seen, and it was like the three, the trio Pokemon. I forget what they're called.
The Lake Guardians?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. The three Pokemon, Azelf, Uxie, and Mesprit. And Mesprit is a little bitch. Stupid roaming Pokemon. I never want to look for a roaming Pokemon again. But I did those three, and then there were two left, and it was Finneon and Lumineon. So I went and caught a Finneon, and I have yet to evolve it. And that's the last one. So after that, I get to do the post game, and then you get to catch all the starters in the underground.
That's cool.
Yeah, you get to catch like all the different Pokemon in the underground, and the starters are all down there. Like you catch like Charmander and Treecko and stuff. And I was like, hell yeah, I want all those Pokemon. Catch me a Totodile.
That's awesome.
What's the best starter Pokemon, Pete?
I don't know. It's changed so many times. Like, Chimchar's up there, because he's great. Charmander's up there, because he's great. Squirtle's up there, because he's great. I really like Chespin as well. It's a controversial take. Yeah, I really like... Oh. Like, that line, like... Quillen, not so much, but Chesnaught and Chespin, I really like. I think they're awesome. I know. It seems like a very hot take. I just really like them.
I hate Chespin. That's like absolute bottom tier of starters.
Nah, man. I like Chespin. He's just a cute little guy. He doesn't want to hurt anyone. Here's a controversial opinion. I think the Gen 6 starters are pretty good. Overall,
I mean, I like Froakie a lot. Froakie, I think, is great. I really like Froakie. I'm in the middle on Fennekin. It's a little bit bland. I really don't like Chespin.
Hey, man, I love Froakie.
This is the biggest disagreement that we've had.
It probably is. Yeah, I love Froakie. I love Greninja. I like Fennekin. I think Delphox is pretty cool as well. It's weaker than others, but I think it's all right. And I love Chesnaught. I think he's just a beast. I love him. He's cool. And I like Chesnaught. What's wrong with Chesnaught? He's a big dude. He's a ninja turtle, except not.
No, he's so ugly thing.
How dare you? How dare you? You know how when you first saw Von Wagner, the gorilla part of your brain went, "Huh, he's big."
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm like for Chesnaught, but unashamedly so. I just love him. He's big, and he just goes, and he's got a big spiky shield thing, and it's like, yeah, that's cool. I can't explain it, all right?
Crazy.
Leave me alone.
Crazy.
I love Chesnaught. He's amazing. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the WrestleTalk Podcast. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Really do appreciate it. We'll be back soon with more content, and stay tuned for hopefully less negative episodes, if there are better episodes to talk about. Sorry for the negativity. I'm saying this in advance. We haven't recorded the episode yet, but I'm sure it's going to be, because I didn't like this episode. Anyway, bye. Jam that jam. Keep listening. Bye. Subscribe to the podcast. I don't know what you do. Do you subscribe to podcasts? You do, don't you? I don't know. I don't really listen to podcasts that much.
Yeah.
Jam that jam.
I think so. Yeah. Jam
bye.
It. Jam it in there.
Bye.
Jam that jam.
LAW for life. We're fine. LAW is fine. Bye. Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.